B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, what in the hell are the Patriots doing this offseason? That's been a common theme. People are asking and people are writing. There's been a lot of stories written about the offseason. Like, what is this? Tom Curran's the latest on NBC Sports Boston. He said the Patriots are running a major trade deficit so far in the 2019 offseason. He says the list of exports is a mile long. Coaches like Brian Flores, Josh Boyer, Brendan Daly, Chad O'Shea, Jerry Schaplinski, and what the hell, might as well include it, Greg Schiano. Players like Trey Flowers, Trent Brown, Chris Hogan, Rob Gronkowski, Cordell Patterson, Dwayne Allen, Malcolm Brown, Adrian Waddle, and Adrian Claiborne. The imports? Few, says Curran, and accepting defensive end Michael Bennett and linebackers coach Gerard Mayo, names generally unrecognizable, like Terrence Brooks. Again, a couple of these.
Who the hell is that?
I never heard of that person.
So that's a special team that they signed from the Jets.
From the Jets, right, okay. Yeah. But to Curran's point, the imports few and unrecognizable, like Terrence Brooks, Bruce Ellington, Cedric Lang.
That's offensive tackle, Vikings,
son of Clubber.
I'd never heard of that name until I read it. Oh, is that the guy that you got from the Vikings?
Yeah, yeah.
Husband of Jessica.
Hey, woman. All right, so Cedric Lang.
Come and show you real man.
Matt Lacoste. Maurice Harris. Help me with him again. Who's that?
Redskins receiver. Yeah.
And Mike Pennell, former fat guy on the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, defensive tackle, fat guy.
Curran writes that free agency's first wave came and went. The second wave came and went. And the Patriots just sat under their umbrella reading John Grissom, listening to the Seagulls. There's a shot against Bill Belichick. There's a shot. Because what was he doing when free agency started?
Oh.
He was floating in the water with Linda and their four boobs.
Oh, right.
Curran says, yes, there are no games today or this Sunday. There's actually 159 sleeps days before they get started. And there's a draft in which an assortment of players a couple of years removed from their senior prom will be hailed as possible solutions. And yes, there will be a seismic trade, he says. It's inevitable. Mistaking the Patriots' idleness for complacency would be a mistake. But if every goon with internet access, myself included, can see the need to bolster the offense around Tom Brady and Julian Edelman, then Bill Belichick and Canserio do too. When the inevitable blockbuster comes, and the best bet on timing for that is around the draft, there will be a measure of, see, all fixed. But, says Curran, I'm dubious. I'm dubious they can make enough moves to tip the trade deficit into a surplus. Which is why, coming off an unpatriotic-like 11-5 regular season in 2018, you need a busload of faith to squint at the ultrasound of this team in the womb and say it's developing nicely. So there's just another... We've had a lot of stories written like that, but it's true. Any other team, you just sort of take out the names and the pedigree. And you say,
we'd be kicking the crap out of them.
You lost this guy, this guy, that guy, this guy, this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy. You were on vacation for the first wave of free agency. You did nothing in the second wave of free agency. Oh, you have no money to spend, so you've mismanaged your books. You lost this guy, that guy, this coach, that guy. You haven't replaced any of them. You had two defensive coordinators leave. Who's left? Your kid? Like, if that were any other team, we'd be mocking them and saying they're in real trouble. But the Patriots are the Patriots, and everybody else sucks, so we don't. But that's just the fact of it.
Do you think it's inevitable that they make a blockbuster?
No.
I don't either.
What's left? I mean, a blockbuster is Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham.
Or maybe Julio Jones. Maybe
right.
I take it back. Julio Jones is a blockbuster. Fine.
That's the thing I find the most interesting.
Julio Jones.
From this column from Tom is that thing about a trade, that seems informed.
Yeah, I thought so too. That's how I felt about it too.
A lot of guys, I don't think he's the only Patriot guy to say it. And there's this feeling among the guys that cover the team that it's a fait accompli. They've got something in their back pocket.
Okay. Do you think they do?
Yes, but...
Would it surprise you if Bill went in with the current receiving core?
Yes.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It would.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It would surprise me.
This is enough.
I agree. But you know what?
They got to do something.
No, wouldn't surprise me if he went in with it. Now, again, let me amend and say.
But let me just amend.
This receiving core and draft picks.
I think they're making a move, but it might be for some defensive tackle that I've never heard of, and they think is big and is a good defensive tackle, but it's like, oh, another defensive tackle or whatever. You know, I don't know how many blockbusters would be left. Julio Jones is one of them. I'll give you that one, Murray.
Even though I'm not a fan, AJ Green, that could be a block. That would be a blockbuster to most people.
Okay, he's suggesting though that the blockbuster would be for the receiving core, and all I'm telling you is it would not surprise me if their existing group and anyone they get in the draft is what they go with. Would not surprise me in the least bit.
Okay, so they've had money trouble this year, but they have huge amounts of cap space next year, and they have not chewed into it one bit. And Bedard, in talking to some league executives yesterday, Greg Bedard, those league executives wondered, are they setting themselves up for a reset? Because that's how it would look from the outside, any other team. Again, not any other team. Who knows what they're doing? But this is all sort of to follow up on this. Leads to the email of the day. This was an angry fella, Charlie, who's a chronic, but is angry that we didn't do our jobs and really mine the drama like we should have. He says, for a show full of admitted trolls who are trying to, quote unquote, facilitate discussion, Jimmy, it seems that you are missing a major story and storyline of the Patriots offseason. I'm wondering where the Felger and Maz translator is. And I can't believe you haven't beaten this to a pulp when in fact you've barely effing touched it. Going back, we all agree that Bill bet against Tom and had Garoppolo queued up as the guy for the future, right? We all agree that.
Yes.
Looking back, it's more obvious than other. So we all agree that Bill was overruled and Tom beat out what Belichick wanted to have happen, which was have the succession plan. Tom beat that out. And with another Super Bowl, who can argue? Brady beat it. He beat anyone who thought he was in the decline, including Belichick. Okay? Who can argue? He says, who can argue, you ask? Who is arguing? Why aren't you guys playing this up as a bunch of bleep-stirring a-holes yourselves? You think the Palace Q was just a one-season thing, not built over 15, 16, or 18 years of malcontent? Here's the point. Bill thinks Brady is replaceable. We know Bill thinks this. We know this. We all agree. So why hasn't Brady gotten an extension? Why does the team have to suck up a $27 million cap hit? Say it again, $27 million cap hit. They have been in on and lost out on every wide receiver in free agency because they couldn't pay. They are absolutely tanking this offseason, intentionally. Why? Are we there yet, you GD dummies? I'll answer for you. This is Tom Brady's last year in New England. Again, this is Tom Brady's last year, according to Bill anyway. But where is the talk of this? Where is the Palace Q talk that moved into contracts and out of the locker room? Where is the talk that Bill wants to win without Brady? There are millions of iterations that a dummy like me can come up with. I just can't believe the F&M translator spin machine hasn't had a bleeping field day with the handcuffs of a nearly $30 million cap hit that has cost him the offseason. And the writing's on the wall that Bill is once again betting against Brady and pushing him out the door. It's Tom's last year. The writing's on the wall. Again, this is it. XOXO, sign Charlie.
I agree that we haven't used a translator in some period of time. We're going to have to fire that one up.
So Brady doesn't have a contract extension. Could be as simple as it's his last year. I mean, I don't believe it is why we haven't said it, Charlie. I don't believe it's his last year.
Well, but if you go back to the Bedard column, the ownership or the Patriots.
He said that according to his sources, the team believes there's still a chance he retires after next year, especially if he wins another one.
Right. So, and I just think the Brady deals are done with ownership and not with Bill. So the fact that he doesn't have one suggests to me that, you know, on the highest levels, they look at it and say he could be done after the end of the year.
But
so they believe it.
Yeah, but if he still wants to play, and this is what Bill's trying to have happen, he'll just get overruled again. If Brady can still play, and he's at a high level and wants to play tomorrow.
He wants to play, yep.
Yeah, and the contract is up, and Bill is like, no, I'm fine, I can draft someone else. He'll just get overruled again. And to that I say, good.
I mean, when we're talking about human beings, I rule out nothing. But I think there's, if you're asking me which theory I believe more, Bedard's theory that they are getting ready for a handoff to me feels like, or the reset. To me, Bedard's theory I like. I think there's some truth to that.
Okay, so I just wanted to get that out. There's that. We've got all the Celtics stuff, which again, I want to circle back to. Guess who's upset with his role and his minutes and his shots? At least Gordon Hayward's wife, we know, which probably means Gordon Hayward. The wives are now talking on the Celtics, folks. It's great for us. Like, I love it. I sit back and watch the gals go at it. That's always the good stuff. The Real Housewives of the Boston Celtics have come to New England. We'll give you that story coming up. And Kyrie being Kyrie. And are you buying in at all, even just a little bit on the C's after last night? To you right after this.
SageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rebound Horford. Shot clock is off, and all the Celtics have to do is bring it into the front court and bleed the clock dry. Celtics struggled with Miami for most of the night, but thanks to Gordon Hayward running the anchor leg with the baton, they're going to win this basketball game. 5 seconds to go. Smart holding the basketball, having a conversation with Dwayne Wade. We hit triple zeros, and the Celtics win.
So no movement, Murray, huh? No acknowledgement of what they're capable of?
Sure not. For sure not.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, last night showed me a hell of a lot more than those home wins. So at least, again, the door is still ajar, and I said if they go on the road and beat the teams that they beat at home, that's got to show you a little something. A little something. That's not falling apart and getting worse. And maybe it's the start of going the other way. And I'm not the one to point this out, but if Gordon Hayward's going to play like that, that looked more like the Celtics we thought, in that Hayward had 20-plus, Irving had 20-plus, Horford had 20-plus. Look, he had a real big three, and Hayward was really involved in that game. And it's like, huh, that's what they had in mind. And look, I think Indiana, again, without Oladipo, as we mentioned before, if you drafted a Celtics-Indiana series, the first Indiana player off the board would go off 7th or 8th, something like that.
Assuming health? Without Oladipo?
No, Oladipo would be a top three pick, but okay, without Oladipo, who you're going to be playing? Oladipo's hurt.
Right. Miles Turner, I think, would
go where?
Oh, gosh. I think I'd take four or five Celtics before him.
This is my point.
I'd put Miles Turner fourth.
Yeah, I'm around them where Jimmy is, too.
Thank you.
Okay, so fine. You have the top three players in the series, and then the top five of the first six or six of the first seven.
Remember, the Pacers are the old Celtics of the last couple of years. They play good team basketball. They enjoy each other's company.
All I'm telling you is that if Hayward's going to be that guy, and they should beat the Pacers, they're better than the Pacers, and if the Celtics are just halfway engaged, they should win that series, and then it's momentum, and then there's a flawed Bucks team sitting there for you. And then I'll stop. We'll reassess the conference finals when we get there. I just think the path is there and the door's ajar, and they haven't the nail's not in the coffin, and they're just starting to creep in the other direction as far as I'm concerned. If you're not buying, I don't blame you, okay? On Gordon Hayward, that was a big, variable last night. Really involved. Guess who was happy about it? Guess who's now throwing their hat into the ring in this bleep storm of Celtics crap this year? The wives.
Little Mrs. H.
I'm sorry, what's her name?
We're going to say Penelope.
Penelope.
No, Robin Hayward.
Robin Hayward,
This was brought to my attention about an hour into the show today. She posted on her Instagram stories last night, "Good things happen when my baby gets the ball and minutes. Just like the good old day." Heart emoji. And then she posted Gordon Hayward's stat line. And she, it's funny too. She didn't circle it. She made sure she actually blocked out everyone else's numbers. It's just Gordon Hayward's stats. And whoever was above him and below him, all blocked out. It's all about my baby. Because he got the ball and the minutes and finished with 25 points. Because he should always have the ball because he's my baby.
Good things happen when my baby gets the ball.
Sounds
and
like
the
a country song.
I'm telling you, it's never good or it's always good when the wives get involved. Now the wives are in.
Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable.
You don't take the ball away from my baby. let's get into all of that. Now I want to hear Mrs. Marcus Morris Sr. weigh in. I'd like to hear Mrs. Jaylen Brown weigh in. Counter. Mrs. Stevens, maybe this is a veiled shot at Brad Stevens for taking the ball and the minutes away from her baby.
Yeah, no, definitely Mrs. Stevens.
And you don't take ball or minutes away from my baby.
Mrs. Irving.
And so now I want to see that this is great. So now the wives are involved. Oh, good. And then another NBA reporter says Durant.
Good things happen when my baby gets the ball.
And another NBA reporter has Durant, fait accompli, done deal in New York, and Kyrie going with him. So all this is there. Oh, and let's cue up Kyrie on Brad Stevens. Kyrie now feels free because finally the dingbat coach is doing what he wants him to do. last night after the game, Kyrie was actually on the bench the last 2-3 minutes of the game. So did that agitate him? Did that upset? No. Now you see Brad's doing what he wants. And now, well, just here's Kyrie Irving on his relationship with Stevens after last night's game.
I mean, our relationship has just grown, you know, tremendously, just in terms of our communication of what he likes and what I like, but ultimately what's best for our team and how to get the most out of guys. So, you know, it's made my job a lot easier, you know, going to the sideline, knowing that, you know, we're on the same page. And, you know, that makes it easier to go out there and just play free, you know, and really do my job of, you know, leading this team.
It's so pretentious. It makes my job easier. Now when I go to the sidelines, I know he's not going to F this thing up.
I get to play free.
He's finally doing what I told him to do. Where before, I had to go back to the bench and actually coach these a-holes.
Yeah, no. Now that he's out of the way, I can go back there and lead my team. That's what he says. That's what he said. I can do what I do on the floor and lead my team.
It's just a good, I mean, and even turn the Hayward thing into him. I don't know if I'm going to play the Hayward cut. Like it always goes, I, me, my. It's a little LeBron, little Penny. But the coach thing, that's great. Our relationship's great. Now it takes a lot. It makes my job easier because now I don't have to go back to the sidelines and worry about what these dingbats are doing. Because Brad Stevens is finally following my lead. So it's a lot. That's a lot of weight off of my shoulders. I don't have to, you know, the player-coach thing is.
Said Irving of Stevens, it's like having a coach on the sideline.
Here's Irving on Hayward.
It's been a trying season for all of us, but you know him individually. I think that coming back from an injury like he did is, you know, it's well documented, and I think that he's just trying things now and doing it with more confidence and getting into the lane, getting fouled, and really understanding, you know, his size again, where he's 6'9", able to post guys up, able to come off screen and rolls, make great decisions, and we're best when he's looking for his shot. We need G to score, and I told him that, and I'm gonna keep telling him to stay aggressive, you know, be him and really be that, you know, 20-point scorer that he was. And takes a lot of pressure off of me, where I don't have to handle the ball as much, and I could be, you know, kind of floating around the perimeter and cutting back door and just doing the little things that I can do to affect the game other than just having the ball in my hands and trying to score.
It's all about him. You ask him about the freaking Dunkin' Donuts special, and he'll turn it into a question about him. The question was about Gordon Hayward. But he can't help. The first half is fine. He's understanding his size. He's posting guys up. Good. Like, that's what he's doing. Excellent. I told him he's got to keep doing that. I keep telling him to do that. I'm going to keep telling him to do that because that frees me up to do what I need to do. It's like, but that question wasn't about you, Kyrie. If we ask you about the other guy. But he can't help himself. But anyway, on the floor, it looks like a more functional operation. It does. But 1 foot out the door now. The wives are involved. All the crap is still there. We'll see if it comes back up in the
Robin
playoffs.
Hayward. Holy, now they got to fit her into the rotation, too? We're crying out loud. They got to worry about that.
All right, back to your phones. As promised, Connor in Pawtucket on Kyrie. Go ahead, Connor.
Hey, guys, I totally agree with you. His tone just sounds like it's all about him. But if you listen to him, I mean, he's kind of right. If he just leads and it just gives Gordon the chance, they will do better. But if he just starts with, I love the fact my team won and I'm supporting my team and just said I'm going to be helpful for everybody. It would sound a lot better if he just did. So you guys tell me what you think. If he just changes tone a little bit, he's kind of, but also I think.
Listen, let me cut you off. It'd be better if he stops leading. Stop it. Just score. Just score. Score the basketball. That's all. They're not asking you to do anything else. Score the basketball. Let Al Horford be the guy off of, you know, the veteran, the savvy veteran leader, whatever. If you need that, let Marcus Smart be this sort of energy spark plug. Let Gordon Hayward get the ball more because good things happen when it goes to him. And you just score. Why is it so complicated?
It's not. But again, to do that would require him ceding the floor to some other people. And he can't function that way because of who knows what. I mean, we can psychoanalyze, but let's not do that part of it. It's got to be, you know, he just can't acknowledge that there might be other people who's important as him.
Paul in the car on Kraft. Go ahead, Paul.
I don't know this, and I don't know if you guys know the answer. If Bob Kraft pleads guilty or is found guilty, would he have to register as a sex offender in this state? Is that why he's putting up so much of a fight?
I would hope not. I've never heard one word of that until you just called. So I'm going to say no because no one's ever mentioned it. It wasn't part of the plea deal. You don't. No, that's not it.
And in his case, it wasn't anybody, you know, young involved.
No. No, it was just the opposite.
Right. I mean, the two women that were involved with him were 40 and 50, right? No. Or in their 40s and 50s.
Not it. Keith in New Hampshire on the Patriots. Hi, Keith.
Yeah. now that the AAF has shut its doors, I don't know about you guys, but I'm scared that Belichick's going to bring in some of these no-name wannabe has-been receivers.
Oh, there's no question. Oh, yeah, get ready for it. Oh, it's coming. Murray, you watch that crap. Who was good? You have any receiver prospects for me from the AAF?
No one comes to mind.
So that doesn't scare me.
There's already been a couple of players that have signed with teams. Some cornerback went to the Chiefs, and another guy I was just seeing, I forget where he went. But yeah, it's they're available.
Non-factor. These are end of the roster fodder. And when I say end of the roster, end of the 90-man roster, not the 50-man man roster, no, the 90-man roster.
Practice squad.
Tim in Grafton on the Celts. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Felger, forgive me if you've brought this up recently, but I haven't seen any pitchforks or brooms in the Dorchester area. Do you remember your take that the Celtics lost the Kyrie trade?
No, see, you got that wrong. I said at that point they hadn't won it yet.
At that point, no, I understand.
Yeah.
They still might lose it.
I know.
Won it yet. It's not over, but they still might lose it. The other thing is,
my point.
There's a possibility he signs one of those Durant-LeBron specials where it's a two-year contract with an opt-out after a year. That way he can play another year, see who can do better, him or Durant. Then he can leave and say, see, this time I didn't promise you anything. It was in the legal contract. Now I got to go apologize to my girlfriend for waiting on hold for an hour. Bye.
Okay. I didn't even hear exactly what he said there at the end. Him signing a 1-1 is like your best case scenario.
Oh, yeah, he could do that.
I mean, the best case is he signs 4 years, but I don't think that's in the cards. I think the least you're going to get, it would be a home run. You bring in Anthony Davis, who has 1 year left. Kyrie signs a 1-1. So those two are now here for 1 year. They do great things, win a title, contend really close for a title. Anthony Davis, Kyrie realize this is actually the spot for them, and they both re-up. And that's sort of I think that's the blueprint. I think that's what they want.
Yeah, look, again, I mean, I'd take that in a second. I have a hard time believing Kyrie's going to stay here. And, I mean, on a one-year deal. The other thing is, if you're Kyrie, and the whole thing has been angled towards getting to this point and then getting your money, he is one of the guys in that league, I think, that has to be a little bit careful about the 1-1 thing. That knee, I don't know, man. I don't know if
you're for him. If you're him, you take all the money you can.
Yes, because again, the 1-1 assumes that you don't have any real physical problems. You're durable, and then there's nothing that could happen that could totally derail your career. I mean, in his head, he might think he's 100% fine, but I don't know if I would trust it.
Here's an update from Big Jim Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, one more segment of your wonderful phone calls. Couple open lines if you want to get in on the lightning round. 617-779-0985. Mike and Woburn wants to weigh in on something Murray hit on earlier, and there was a ejection last night in Houston where Ron Culpa, the umpire, got a little ahead of himself. Go ahead, Mike.
A little ahead of himself. Did you see the breakdown of what he said to Hinch when they were in the confrontation?
Go ahead, Murray.
Oh, yeah. Again, it was, I can do anything I want.
Anything I want. Let me ask you something. Have any of you gotten into an argument after screwing something up with your significant other? Try saying I can do anything I want and see how that works for you. My wife would turn my face into a knife block, okay? Forget it. Like, these guys have no freaking remorse. They know that they can be wrong and that they can actively take it out on the players that call them out on it. Like, aside from weathermen, I don't know any people that are consistently as wrong as major league umpires, but at least when it snows and I'm shoveling out from 6 inches that the guys didn't forecast, Bruce Schwegler is driving by my house giving me the freaking evil eye, you know, in case I MF him that I'm out there freaking shoveling. Like, these guys are awful. It's time. I want everybody to go to your Stop and Shop. Ask the people, can they borrow the robot for the next Red Sox game? Stick them, the big one with the big googly eyes, stick them behind the plate, and...
Oh, he crapped out. But bottom line, headline, hashtag, bring in the robots.
Yeah, and I agree completely. We shouldn't know the name Ron Culpa, Angel Hernandez, Joe West, C.B. Buckner, and we do because these guys consistently make themselves part of the game because they carry themselves like mall cops. Like, they think they're bigger than what they really are. And this is the way it's been. It's getting worse. It really is. This thing I saw on social media went viral this morning because of the meltdown that Culpa has on Hinch. Yelling in his face, you can see it clear as day, I can do anything I want. They really do. Some of these guys, they think that the fans are there, not for the game. They're there for them.
No, it really is. It's insufferable, and it does feel like it's getting worse. It does.
Brett in Bridgewater on the Patriots. Hi, Brett.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So I was just calling because you guys are talking about that letter from that guy, Charlie. And I was just thinking how freaking insane it is to, you know, even consider someone who's brought you to the Super Bowl, you know, for the past couple of years. And granted, he, you know, didn't have the best game against the Eagles a couple of years ago, but, you know, someone playing at that high level, how are you even going to talk about them retiring? I mean,
because life goes on, Brett. The planet's not going to stop spinning when Brady retires. You have to have a team after
that. Absolutely. Absolutely. I get that. But, like, do you really consider, you know, him to be looking for that right now, or is it
he
just
should be
that...
Okay, and Brett, thanks for the call. I don't you know what
he says right now, like you know, it's way too early to even be thinking about it.
He should be thinking about it right this second.
Of course, I'm saying the caller. You really think he should be thinking about that right now?
Yes, right now.
Yeah, he's 42.
He started thinking about it 5 years ago. It turns out he jumped the gun. No problem though. Perfect sense, perfectly logical that a guy who's 37, which Brady was at the time they drafted Garoppolo, and Brady's play and numbers had steadily, slightly declined year to year.
Four years in a row, his completion percentage and rating had gone down.
Perfectly reasonable to think the end is near, let's start planning for the future. Bill was 1,000% right to do what he did with Garoppolo. 1,000. Best thing he ever did. Second best thing he ever did. And... oh, so Brady beat it out. Good for Tom. Crushed it. Amazing. Okay, so that happened. They have to do it again. And Bill should be thinking about the next guy, and he should be thinking about what happens after Tom, because that's the right thing to do. Sorry, Murray. It's the right thing to do.
So my only question is whether Bill, you know, makes the pick, grooms him for a year or two or whatever, and then hands him off to Josh, or whether it's all entirely in Josh's hands.
I hope not. Okay, so we had this big conversation yesterday, but to me, it's the single most important thing facing the franchise. It's more important than the ownership transfer. It's more important than the ownership transfer that's ultimately going to happen. And I'd say that because you can have a crappy owner, but if you've got a great quarterback, you're all set. If you've got a great owner, the best owner ever, and your quarterback can't play, you're porked. You suck. The quarterback's more important for our purposes. Dave and Lemonster on the Pats. Hi, Dave.
So I have two questions here, just regarding who had a better season during their championship runs here, Darrell Revis or Stephon Gilmore?
Okay, who was better in their year that they won the title, Gilmore or Revis? I think Gilmore was more consistent. Revis got off to a really bad start.
We're talking about the whole season now.
Yeah,
Gilmore got off to a really bad start.
No, but last year. This year, wire to wire, he was pretty good.
Yeah, Gilmore had a more consistent year. Revis is the better player.
I think Revis was a better player. I agree.
Yeah.
I think Revis was a more impact player.
I mean, people still threw at Gilmore.
Exactly. Absolutely
right. In fact, they did it in the Super Bowl. Like, they still threw at him. In the Super Bowl, remember that Malcolm Butler's play, the Seahawks were never going anywhere near Revis on that play.
Yeah, but Gilmore also finished the year first team All-Pro. I mean, he did. And there were some bad games. The Tennessee games, he was atrocious, and they picked on him that whole game.
Gilmore's also in his prime. Revis was closer to the end. But if we're going to compare apples to apples, it's not even close.
Revis was a better player.
He was.
Bill Definitely.
Revis is a Hall of Famer, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is. Bill in the car on Robert Kraft. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
It's going good. What do you got?
Quickly, yeah, I think it's interesting. You guys sort of poking fun at Robert Kraft for trying to sort of, you know, protect his name, fight this case, and you're sort of drawing a comparison to like, yo, yeah, he's going to take a knee. You know, take a knee with.
Yes, he will have his he'll have his fist in the air opening day at Gillette there at the 50-yard line. He's been unfairly maligned and harassed and profiled by the police. I want you to know that.
Bill, what's your problem? What's the issue?
No, but, you know, just like, you know, there's other people in the news where, you know, they fight their case, like Jussie Smollett, for example. I don't know if, you know, if you guys were on him as hard as you are on Kraft for, you know, similar sort of.
Never mentioned it once in my life. I don't care about Jussie Smollett.
Okay. Do you think what Jussie did, you think he's innocent?
I have no idea. I haven't filed the case. I could give two poops about an actor on Empire. I don't care. I haven't never mentioned it. I'm not versed in the story. I'm versed in the Kraft story.
How is that related to New England, Boston, the Patriots, and sports?
Zero, which is why we haven't mentioned it. I haven't invested in the story. I don't care about that. I care about the Kraft thing. That's someone I cover. That's someone that we're involved with every single day, and that's the guy that I'm concerned with.
What was the crux of that call?
I don't know.
That we're being too hard on Robert Kraft? Is that what that was about?
We are a Boston sports radio station. Boston sports. I mean, that's what we do. Boston sports radio.
I'll just give you my 15 seconds on it. Smollett's full of it. He should be in prison. Robert Kraft should just take his punishment. It's two misdemeanors. If he accepted what this deal, the tape goes away and the story goes away. That's it.
Again, TJ Quinn.
Pretty simple.
But why is that even relevant? Why is that?
I don't know.
TJ, just let it go. TJ Quinn, the investigative report for ESPN, said in the last 24 hours that the deal on the table for Kraft is that if he says he would have lost in court, they will seal the evidence. Seal the tape goes away forever, which I didn't know. And I'm not even sure Quinn's right because I've heard different people say different things. But according to Quinn, who's been pretty good on a lot of this stuff, that's the offer on the table. The tape goes away, which is like the biggest concern of all, I thought. So, again, Kraft doesn't have to admit guilt, doesn't have to plead guilt. And I know that's a fine line. It's really close to saying I would have lost in court. It's akin to it, but it's still not. When you write his, you know, his wiki page, it doesn't say pled guilty. It doesn't say accepted guilt. It says something different. It's you can worm your way around that. Say, yes, I took the deal because I just wanted this to go away and I was causing enough harm as it was. But I'm not guilty and I didn't do anything illegal. You can still say that. You can still say I'm not guilty and I did nothing illegal. You can still make that claim. You just say I would have lost in court. And the tape goes away. So
it's going to be an interesting 24 hours. Because, again, the deadline for the plea deal is tomorrow, right?
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. Mike in the car, you think Kraft should fight the case?
No, Mikey, my only point, let me preface this by saying, you know, I'm not a hawk. I think he should get the Game of Thrones walk of shame on the field opening night. I mean, that really, you know, it is what it is. My only thing is, you know, I think why he's fighting this the way he is, let's not forget, for 2 weeks, you know, based on what the Jupiter police said that day, the national news and everybody ran, the story was sex trafficking and Robert Kraft. And that, in a nutshell, I believe, is why he's going to fight this, you know, the way he is. And, you know, I don't know how it's going to end. I don't think any of us do. But I think that's why he's fighting it.
Okay, but So, Mike, I mean, I understand that he was linked to that on day one, and I even said it day one. You know, that's a little unfair, that linking. Except now the time has gone on, and everyone understands that link. I mean, everyone understands what's going on now, and the prosecutors have said a million times he's not involved in human trafficking. He's not being charged with human trafficking.
I get it, but my take is I think that is why. You know, let's not forget that was a big part of the story for the first couple of weeks. You're right, that's kind of calmed down. But it's still there. You know, I mean, the local news is...
Okay, so I understand. Here, look, so if I'm being totally fair here. If Kraft says, yep, I would have lost in court, there's your deal. We seal the evidence. And if Kraft's side says in Florida, we'd like you to make a statement that says unequivocally and in no uncertain terms, Robert was not involved in sex trafficking. And his case was not, his specific case had nothing to do with human sex trafficking.
Didn't they say that the day they announced the initial charges?
They did, but Aaron Berg went on about sex trafficking. But then he was asked specifically about Kraft. He says he is not involved in human trafficking. He's not being charged with it. So they've never linked Robert ever once, but he was wrapped up in the, I mean, that's how they got the warrant in the first place.
See, I just think that that part of it's a smokescreen. People like that say that, you know, and this is what the attorneys are doing too, Kraft's attorneys. You know, well, the whole thing was linked to he was never charged with that.
Okay. Ever. Okay, but I don't think it's unfair to ask their side to say, okay.
I know, but at this stage, people keep bringing it up, and I think it's a smokescreen.
It's because it's Robert's escape hatch, and if you want Robert to prevail in this, that's what you're going to.
So now, again, if you go back to the T.J. Quinn story that you're talking about, Kraft has presented this scenario, admit that you would lose in court, and we seal the tape, but you got to pick one or the other. If you don't admit that you would lose in court, then the tape comes out, okay? So I asked you earlier, if the case is tossed, if the charges are dismissed, what happens to that?
Right.
Tape?
So if Kraft prevails on this motion that the warrant was illegal and it was a faulty traffic stop or a faulty video, and they dismiss the charges out of hand.
So, and again, I'm just Beetle just texted me a little while ago, so I'm not telling
you. No, so, and in that case, what happens to the tape?
Okay. So, according to Beetle, and again, I'm not telling you Beetle's an attorney, but he has attorney friends.
He sure does.
The tape is, all evidence is sealed. If it's deemed that the evidence in the case
was illegally gotten.
Correct. Then it's sealed, and that's it, and that's the end of it. So Kraft's going for both. He's going for both, which is why I say the next 24 hours are going to be fascinating.
Which is fine.
Because if it goes to trial, the tape comes out.
He'll probably win on both. This isn't my thing. It's never been my thing. I don't respect the way he and his lawyers have gone about it. Period. I don't respect it. I respect the cops down there, especially that Sheriff Will Snyder. That's a guy I trust. That's a guy I think whose heart is in the right place. The rest of them, I don't.
And I would tell Michael Rubin, by the way, that whether the stop was unlawful, whether the tape was illegal, he was still there.
Oh, God, the Michael Rubin comment. Now he knows what it feels like to be some of our players who've been profiled, and oh my God.
He was there. You know, again, that's the one thing that, like, all I know is the court of public opinion and what the reality is, and he was there, and it was embarrassing.
Why would you let overcome someday? Like, now this
why
is
would
like,
you let that leave your mouth?
What now? Robert is a victim of police harassment and profiling. Now Robert knows what it's like to be an African American pulled over and unfairly thrown into the judicial system. That was an all-timer from Michael Rubin. Yeah, the final word comes your way next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Two calls are profiled in the final word today. First, let's hear from Aaron in Dedham once again, who clearly did not know you need to hold the phone like the pizza.
I knew it.
Aaron in Dedham on the Red Sox, go.
You know, I feel like the reason that we haven't talked to the bullpen that much is because
what? How in the world does an individual like that think he could talk to anyone? Just walking down the street or in your living room talking to someone, never mind on a radio show with millions of listeners.
Oh, I finally got on. Let me put these napkins in my mouth.
I was just going to say he was eating a burger. I want to hear it again.
It blows me away. He's still on the line. Aaron, hold it like a pizza. Hold it like a pizza. Go ahead.
I feel like the reason that most people haven't been talking about the bullpen is because they're on the West Coast and most people are going to sleep. But I feel like besides Hector Velasquez and Heath Embley, the bullpen has been playing very well.
Okay, Aaron, thank you for the call. He did his best.
Yeah. You know what just stood out to me, too, and I guess I didn't hear it the first time. Millions of listeners? I mean, I know the ratings are good, but...
Yeah.
Millions?
Well, if you count the repeaters on the podcast after a period of time. Eventually, it gets up there.
You know,
I mean, for a second there, I thought it was Frank the Tank's roommate, and he was being smothered with a pillow. Yeah.
Well, then we also heard from Josh and Weymouth, who hit below the belt when it came to yours truly.
Oh God.
Josh and Weymouth, go ahead.
This whole New York, Kyrie, Kevin Durant nonsense is just nonsense. I mean, it's the Knicks. Every season I hear you guys say that everyone's going to go to L.A., they get LeBron. Wait, hold on.
I've been telling you people are going to go to LeBron, go to L.A., and then they get LeBron James, the best player in the league. Wouldn't you say that I was right about that?
Yeah, but they missed the playoffs, didn't they, this year?
I didn't predict what team they were going to be. I just told you the stars are going to go there like they always do.
Yeah, but what stars have gone to the Knicks other than Carmelo Anthony and Mari Stoudemire with his bad knees?
I never said that about the Knicks. I said about the Lakers.
Okay, well, how's that working out? And Paul George was supposed to be there, and Russell Westbrook was supposed to be there. Let's just stop project so much as you guys are, first of all. And secondly, the fact that Jim Murray is hosting a show that Adam Kaufman should be is ridiculous.
There it is, the biggest insult I'll ever get in my entire life. Hands down, that's the coldest thing anyone
you did.
Yeah, and he'll bore the audience to tears. That's the biggest insult anyone's ever going to give. Congratulations, Josh. You won.
Don't worry.
You won.
So, Josh, you want Adam Kaufman back?
Why'd you go worry some more, Jim? Because this team is fine.
Everything's fine. Well, I will continue to worry about them. I've considered them dead for about a month and a half now.
Yeah, why don't you go worry more, Jim? Go ahead and worry.
Hey, Adam Kaufman.
You want to take shots. The dumb tattoos, big nose, weak chin, fat, whatever. Balding, like any of that. Why do you wear the stupid sunglasses? Like, at this point, I can all take it in stride.
Where's Adam Kaufman?
I draw the line there too, Murray.
I don't know how you come back from that one.
That was, you don't.
Weak chin? You have a weak chin?
Oh, I shave. I look like a turtle.
It's as bad as it gets. All right, speaking of which, how the Red Sox doing, Maz?
Well, so they're on the field right now in Oakland. I wouldn't say it's actually a swimming day for the local nine. But we'll fill you in on what's going on there if you care to know. Obviously, we're going to start with last night's game because, you know, there were rules against us playing highlights from the game in progress. We can't do that. But I do want to start with last night because a couple of things in particular struck me about that game. We'll begin with most notably last night, the catching situation struck me as significant.
Okay, baseball reporters, live commentary on the Red Sox 7-3 deficit right now in Oakland. Thoughts on the team so far, a week into the year? No commercials, just an update. Then you get Maz on the other side. We're back at it tomorrow, Maz. You know what day it is.
Agenda-free Friday.
How about that? All right. See you tomorrow, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.